We're going to look at a few different places. We're going to start with Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. It says, for the word of God is alive and active. Can everyone say alive and active? Sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Hebrews 6:19 through 20, it says that we have this hope as an anchor. Everybody say anchor. For the soul, firm and secure, it enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtain where our forerunner Jesus has entered on our behalf. I'm going to skip two because I'll talk about it while I'm preaching. Can we pray? Let us pray. Father, I pray that you would help us. Every son, every daughter of yours that is in this sanctuary, will you help us to hear your voice daily in and through your scriptures? Father, today we ask that you would heighten our awareness to your voice. May we hear daily what you are saying to each one of us personally. Lord, your word anchors our souls. Teach us to position ourselves to hear your word personally. Teach us, Lord, to let down our anchor in you daily. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Okay? I have a question for you. What has the Lord been saying to you lately? Do you hear his voice on a day-to-day basis? Or do you feel like you're living in the darkness and you're kind of hoping you're doing the will of God or you're in the will of God? Do you know with assurance? Do you live daily in each season with the personal word from the Lord? Are you anchored in the word of God consistently, daily? That's the question today. Imagine a ship out in the ocean, okay? Imagine a ship without an anchor, okay? It would be at the mercy of the wind and the waves, tossed around in every direction and unable to find its bearings. Every ship has an anchor. An anchor, I didn't have time to go buy an anchor. I do have one at home. It was too heavy to bring. Imagine this little thing as an anchor. Every ship has an anchor, but the anchor has to be connected to the rope, right? And the rope has to be connected to your ship. What is an anchor if you're not connected to the anchor, right? I'm going to keep that right there so you could remember. Are you connected to the anchor? Word of God, the word of God, we all know this. I'm not here to tell you something new. But you know what I realized after almost 30 years of pastoring? I realized how much important the basics are. Anybody love soccer here? So I'm a strong Heung-min Son, Sonny fan. And I told Benjamin, I don't care how poor we are, we get in seasons. You got to let me go watch him once a year. And he's like, okay. If you look at them, and I wait for videos, you know, every week I'm waiting for the videos, Tottenham or Korean, you know, national team. And if you look at what they show, they do the same thing every week. Have you noticed, you know, they, you know. Okay, can I get the mic? I don't know how to connect it. I should have. I might do some soccer moves over here. Sorry.
You know, when you see those soccer players every week, these are like, they make like $200,000 to $300,000 a week. A week. I know Sonny makes $190,000 a week, right? And he deserves more because he is world class. And if you look at the week in, week out, they do the same thing, you know, like same thing. They run, you know, it's basics every week. And these are professionals. And what I realized as a pastor, being a, you know, our church has been 20 years old. You know, I've been a minister for 30 years, missionary for 30 years. The most important thing is the basics. Being consistent in the foundational basics of being anchored in the Word of God. Hmm? The Word of God is the anchor to our lives. Hmm? If we're not anchored to the Word, we can easily be swept away by the storms of lives and struggles, right? Right? I don't care how strong of a Christian you are. If you're not anchored, tethered to the Word of God, you will be swept away. Hmm? And you will struggle to find your peace and stability without being consistently anchored in the Word of God. Anchor holds the boat steady. Everybody say steady. And being anchored in the Word of God keeps you, holds you steady during your stormy seasons. And even every day, day to day, it directs you, it strengthens you, it breathes life into you, it protects you, it gives you wisdom. But if you look at 1 Samuel chapter 3, it starts with this. The Word of God was rare at that time. And I'm wondering how many sons and daughters of God in their personal lives, I wonder if the Word of God is rare in so-called spirit-filled sons and daughters of God. I often ask after a prayer meeting, what did God say? When I meet with people one-on-one, what did the Lord say this morning? Have you spent time with God? What did the Lord say? And you know what? Most of them, they're like, And I'm not talking about new, brand new Christians. I'm talking about sons and daughters of God who've been walking with Jesus for years. What has been the Lord saying to you lately? What is the timely word for you in this season? Which means, even if God spoke to you and you're not aware, you're not living with the awareness of that spoken word and the written word, personal word for your life, for today, for this season, you will be tossed around. And the lies and the accusations of the enemy will be louder than what Pastor Samsung preaches once a week on Sunday. You know, his word is going to empower you, strengthen you, train you. But day to day, you got to anchor yourself. You have to be tethered to the Word of God. So now there are many ways to hear, right? Of course, written word. But, you know, you could hear audible voice. Anybody heard the audible voice of God? Wow. After service, come talk to me too. I want to hear. I heard it once too. I'll tell you about that too. You could receive a prophetic word. You could dream dreams. You could even hear God's voice through nature by talking to brothers and sisters. You know what? Where Benjamin hears a lot? Watching movies. Not even the Christian movies. If you are heightened, sensitive, if you are intentional about listening and hearing the personal word of the Lord to anchor in, He speaks. He speaks. But then often I wonder, how do you know that prophetic word you received last week? How do you know the prophetic dream that you had 5 months ago? How do you know what your friend said 2 weeks ago? How do you know if they're really from the Lord? Unless
you're in this word, unless you're in the scripture, you don't know. But when you're in it, it's like your spirit recognizes the familiar voice of your Father, your Lord. It's so familiar. You know it. You're drawn to it because it's anchored in the Word of God. Your life is anchored in the Word of God. The Bible is, the Word of God we read is alive and active. It's alive. The words in the scripture, it's alive. And sometimes don't you feel opposite? Don't you feel dead and stuck spiritually? Then I would ask, maybe you haven't anchored yourself in the active word, the word of God that is alive. Written word. You know, like prophetic, Benjamin and I, our church, we love the prophetic. You know, we pursue to hear the prophetic word. We want to give. We want to, you know, we want to know each other by how God, you know, sees them. So we want to hear the prophetic word for each person. And we just had a prophetic conference where every member and attender received a personal word. We love it. But you know what I realized? Prophetic people who are not daily anchored in the word of God are the most dangerous people. They're not safe. You too, even if you're prophetic, I don't care how many dreams you dream. If you're not anchored in the word of God, you are not a safe person for the body of Christ. You gotta make yourself a safe person for your community by prioritizing the word of God, the written word of God, and anchor in the word of God. You know, like I just came back from one of the countries in the Middle East, and I love how God speaks to them. I love how they hear God's voice. I met this man, you know, I had the privilege of, like, I took a whole week of, you know, they would get together for like 6 to 8 weeks to just study the word, you know, to study and get trained. And I would just take 1 week out of those 6 to 8 weeks and I teach on the Holy Spirit. And I met this man who grew up Muslim. And he said, "Pastor Sonny, I was rich. I had nice cars. I owned homes. When I wasn't a Christian, you know, I had a good job. But then I keep having dream, same dream, over and over and over again, same dream. And in my dream, this man wearing white kept reaching out and telling me, 'Come, come.' And I'm like, I want to go, but I don't know who that man is. And then I would dream again and again. He said he had multiple dreams like that for a few months. And then he met a friend. And on his way to meet his friend, he had to go by some Catholic church. And you know how on the window, you know, they have that, like, the picture, right? He had to stop. And he's like, "That's the man. That's the man that's been coming after me in my dreams." And then when he went to have lunch with his friend, he realized that his friend was a Christian. And as his friend was telling this man about Jesus, you know what this man said? He said, I don't even know. Like, it wasn't like, it's not that I was trying to say it. It just came out of my mouth. As soon as my friend told me about Jesus, I just looked into his eyes and said, "I love Jesus." If you see him, even if you didn't know him, if you hear his voice over and over and over again, you cannot help but love his voice, love his presence, love Jesus. Isn't that amazing? Don't you love that? I met at this time, like I met him March, and then I went in July again, and I met another sister. And that's why, like, when Benjamin and I, we heard her testimony, we both just wept. Because she grew up in a Muslim home. Her father, her uncles, her grandfathers are like imams, okay? They're like top not just over their city, but over the country. These are like some serious like Muslim leaders, right? And so she grew up as a Muslim, but as she became a teenager, she said, if I tell you the truth, I was more of an atheist. And when she went to college, she decided to do a compare and contrast. A research paper on Christianity, Judaism, and Islam. Okay? And as she was researching and reading, you know what she said? She said, out of all three, she says, Christianity cannot be real. How can a man be God? That's not a real religion. So she didn't even like, as she was doing research, she's like negating Christianity. And because she knows these high people, she had a interview with the highest imam of her country. Okay? And as she was telling this imam about her research paper, and she said, stop your research paper. It's illegal. It's against our Islamic law. Stop that. And she's like, oh, okay. And then, when she was leaving that office, as soon as she went downstairs, she got a call from the president of her university. And the president said, I need you to come to my office right now. And so she went to the office and he said, I need you to stop that research paper right now. And she's like, oh, but what about my grade for the class? It's like, don't worry. We're going to give you an A, not only for this research paper, but for the whole class. Actually, for the whole year, you get an A. Stop the research paper. And when she heard that, she started to question, why are they against this research paper? And she didn't know until one night she said she was just like questioning, what's wrong with these people? All of a sudden, Jesus, okay? This person, like I just met in July, guys. It's not someone I read in the book, okay? She said, Jesus appears, okay? He appears. And next to Jesus, man, this is like more crazier than a movie. Jesus appears, and then on the wall next to Jesus, it said, like the writings with like, come on, right? It says Hebrews 2:18. For in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to aid those who are tempted. And so she's like, what is that? Right? So she's not even a Christian. She's an atheist, right? She doesn't know the word of God. She doesn't know what Hebrews 2:18 is. But then she's reading it and she's seeing Jesus. And so she asks Jesus, Jesus, you mean you're God? And you came down to be tempted like us so that you could suffer and understand our suffering? And Jesus said, yes. She said, you mean you understand the mother's pain when she lost her child? Yes. Do you mean you understand the betrayal of your best friend? And she kept asking God, asking Jesus all these like sufferings that she had noticed on this earth. And Jesus said, yes. And you know what she said? She looked into his eyes and she said, I believe you. And from that moment on, she became the follower of Jesus. But she hid it, right? Because it's dangerous in her country. But you know what she started to do? She started to do like a Facebook debating group, inviting Muslims and Jews and atheists and said, let's discuss this, let's debate. And through like Facebook group, she started to share Christ, and these people are coming to know Jesus. Until one day, her father comes into her room and says, is the rumor true? Are you really a Christian? And before she could think, she said, yes, it's true. And then he walked out. And then he came back with her uncle.
And they started to beat her. She said she was locked up for 40 days. First, in the downstairs bathroom, she said every day, you know, they would take turns coming into the bathroom, beating her to renounce her faith in Jesus. And she said, no, I cannot. And her mother would often come in and beg her, I'll take you to church secretly. Just renounce it, please. They're going to kill you. And she would look into her mother's eyes and say, I cannot. And as she was getting beaten, blood, bruise, you name it. But you know what was crazy? She said, when she looked down, there were cuts and bruises, infections, I mean, you know, green stuff oozing. But you know what she said? But she also saw this jelly stuff covering her whole body. And the harder they hit, she said, I felt no pain. Because I felt no pain, they were more angry. And so they beat me more severely. And after a few weeks, they put her in her room upstairs because they had a party or something like that. And the 40th night, she didn't eat. 40th night, she said she lost so much weight. She just felt like God said, it's time to go. It's time to go. And then she said she stood up and she thought, how am I going to leave this house? You see, because they had the gate, the front door was locked. The gate was locked with soldiers, you know. She said they had soldiers, you know, there 24/7. And if any of them were not there, they could get killed by her father. But she stood up. And she said, you see, Pastor, I was my father's favorite growing up. So when he built this house, he built it for me. And I know exactly where everything is. And so when I stood up, I went to my dad's office. I opened his lock. It was her birthday. Took the key out. You know, this whole time she was telling us this story, she never cried until that moment when she talked about her father, that her best friend. She had her father's favor all her life until this moment, and she was getting beaten by that best friend. That's when she cried for the first time as she was telling the story. She said she took the key out. She opened the door. She got out, and she thought, God, how am I going to go through the gate? And when she went to the gate, the soldiers were not there. And she's like, oh, okay. That's miracle, she said. That's never happened before. But then she thought, it takes about 20 minutes of walk to the bus station from our gate. I have no strength to walk. How am I going to get out of this place? And the 1 foot out of her gate. Do you know, what do you call those? Toot-toot. What do you call that? The, you know, the bicycle thing where you sit on the side, right? I don't know. In Indonesia, they call it tutu. But anyway, it came right away. So she got on. She asked to take her to her best friend's house. She knocked on the door. Her best friend opens the door and thought, wait, your dad said you were in Saudi Arabia in university. What are you doing here? And then she collapsed. And so her friend took her in, called the nurses, nursed her back, took her to the church that they were attending and told the pastor everything. And the pastor said, I don't want any trouble with your father. You must go back home. And she said, but Pastor, if I go back home, I would die. They'll kill me. And then he said, take it as your glory. And she's like, what? And so her best friend was so mad that she took her and she called the youth pastor. Pastor took her in. You know, in that country, you can't leave
without a passport. You can't leave without a signature of your husband or your father if you're a woman. Okay? And she said, we got to get out of this country or you'll die. And she was thinking, how would we, how? We just got to pray. And as they prayed, I can't tell you the details, but the moment she left her home, the third day, she was already at a different country by God changing in those 3 days, miraculously getting her passport, miraculously changing the law of her country so the woman could leave, and miraculously changing the law of the other country that she was going to go to where you could come without a visa. Everything happened. And not only that, somebody called them from another country, a Western country, and said, tell me your name. What's going on? And she told them, and they're like, guess what? I'm your professor. And she's like, what? He gave her his name, and he's like, well, aren't you Muslim? And he's like, no, I'm just like you. And he sent all the money that she needed, and the youth pastor took all her family and this sister and left the country. And in the summer, in July, the country that I was at, she was there as one of the student leader that I got to work with, to teach and train and hear her testimony. And as Benjamin and I were hearing her story and we were holding her hands, you could see all over her arms, the scars everywhere. And their friends are saying, if she takes her clothes off, it's worse in her back. And Benjamin, I didn't weep. I just, like, tears maybe welled up a little bit, you know. But Benjamin, he grabbed her. He was like, ah! He was just like screaming, wailing. You see, we were supposed to like pray over her, prophesy over her, but like she ended up like ministering to, it's okay, God is good. And she ended up like ministering to us. You see, we serve a God who is with us, who knows us, who could change, who could divinely, supernaturally make settlements in the supernaturally and make impossible happen to save one daughter, save one sister, to save one brother. That's our God. But even to this lady that's never read a Bible, when he revealed himself to her, he revealed through Hebrews 2:18. It's like the road to Emmaus, right? The disciples running, going away from Jerusalem because they were hopeless and they gave up believing. And Jesus comes along, but their eyes, they can't recognize Jesus. But what did Jesus do? He didn't say, da-da, I'm alive. Have hope again. Go back to Jerusalem where I called you. He didn't do that. How did he reveal himself? The Bible says that he opened up the scripture, starting with Moses. And he opened up and explained what the word of God said about Jesus. You see, even Jesus himself revealed his presence, his voice, through the word of God. And what did the disciples say when Jesus opened their eyes to see their Savior, to recognize their Lord? They said, did not our hearts burn when he opened up the scripture? In this day and age, my brothers and sisters, it's so hard to stand strong in the word of God, in the truth of God. The word of God is active and it's alive. The Bible says it's inspired by the Holy Spirit. But even then, if you're not tethered, if you're not anchored in the word of God, it's hard. It's hard to discern the voice. You know, for Benjamin and I, we walk through so many difficult transition after transition after transition.
And I stand before you, not as this excited, spirit-filled, everything's great, all come, learn from me. No, I stand in my weakest moment, in the season of pain, after going through different transition. And you know what it started with? It started with us planting a church in San Francisco. We opened a second campus in San Francisco, and you walked with us through it. You know it. But after a while, there was a spiritual warfare against the word, and we had to divide. Our church was divided because of the word, that some of the leaders wanted to change what the word of God said. And you know what? Before that happened, whatever they wanted, I fought Benjamin. I said, your father, your leader, give them what they want. And I would even like make Benjamin give up some of his vision, some of his desires, right? His hopes. I fought against him because I wanted these people, these, you know, sons and daughters to have whatever they wanted. But when it came to the word of God, we could no longer give them what they wanted. Because the word of God, anything, everything will change. But what remains is the word of God. God warns us not to add anything or take anything out from the word of God. And because of that, one thing led to another. We lost a lot of church members. We lost a lot of leaders that just left us because we would not compromise with the word of God. Yeah, that was pretty painful, guys. And during that time, I had to ask God, God, what are you saying? What is your word for us? And God said, forgive quickly and bless generously. And that whole year, that was my anchor. Forgive quickly. When my mind thinks of something painful, betrayal, you name it. I mean, I'm not even going to go into details, the things that we had went through. Every time those painful memories come, I remember, forgive quickly, Lord, and bless generously. I started praying for them. Every season. And then, you know, a few years after that, couple of years after COVID happens, right? After COVID happens, we got into this beautiful building, and from that building, a lot of things happened. And last season, you know what we had to do? We had to send away 8 full-time associates. That was painful, guys. It's so painful. And then last year, what we had to do was even, so there were 3 full-timers left after letting go 8, right? And then towards the end of last year, we had to let the other 2 go, which included me. Which means Benjamin would be the only paid pastor. We went from 11 to 1. And during that time, you know what I had to do? God, what is your word? What are you doing? What are you saying? And you know what God said? God says, Sonny, be of good cheer. What do you mean? Look at our bank account. Be of good cheer. Look around. All the leaders that I spent 10 years raising up, they're nowhere around me. What do you mean, be of good cheer? God said, Sonny, be of good cheer, for it is I. He said everything that was happening, that he was in control, that it was him. Be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid. And every time fear tried to come in, I would say, God said, it is him. Don't be afraid. And then I started to like devour the word of God. I mean, only way for me to survive those dark seasons, situational seasons, is life was only here. Because when you look around, the sense of failure as a leader, you know what I mean? Sense of betrayal. You don't understand the pain, emotional pain that I had to walk through. And as I tethered myself
in the Word of God. Written Word of God, spoken Word of God, prophetic Word, you name it. I searched, I read books, I went to Bethel, I went to, you name it. I called my pastor, my mentors, I opened the Word of God. This is my best friend, my only companion. Because sometimes, you know, I couldn't really like cry too much because, you know, Benjamin's already like doing a lot, like 11 people's work by himself, right? So I'm like, oh, I gotta like give him a break sometimes. And you know who was my companion? Here. Jesus says, Sonny, you're living through a miracle. I'm like, I am? Feels like the opposite, God. I feel like you could do some miracles around here. Said, look down. When he said, be of good cheer, it is I. Do not be afraid. You know what I realized? I was walking on water. This season, it's a miracle that we are walking in encouragement because Jesus is walking with us. And God said, Sonny, in 2024, I want you to rest. I want you to rest. And you're going to be more fruitful resting. And when I say rest, I'm talking about running the church, you know, overseeing leaders, doing counselings, you know. But I still did missions. I traveled more in 2024 for missions work. And you know what? God provided more than enough financially. God opened more doors. And what he said was really true. I rested and I told Benjamin, because when I step down in 2024, it's not going to be like 10 years ago where I'm not getting paid, but I'm still working full time. I'm not going to work. He's like, that's right. You deserve it, Sonny. Okay. So I'm not doing finances. You're right. I'm not doing counseling. Of course. I don't have to reconcile. No. I don't have to do leadership. No. I don't have to do deliverance. No. But I still want to do missions. Of course. Whatever you want. And I want to go watch soccer. I want to go watch Sonny. Of course, baby. Whatever you want. It's like my husband's voice was like, it became Heavenly Father's voice. Rest. And you know what I realized? Can I tell you this? You'll love this. You'll love this. Because you do inner healing here, right? 2024, I stepped down after 20 years of running the church. I did more behind-the-scenes pastoral work than Benjamin ever did. Well, now he has to do everything. Right? For the first time in my life, even going back to 20s, college years, teenage years, junior high school years, even elementary. All my life, for the first time in my life, every day I woke up without any anxiety and pressure. And you know what I realized until this year, beginning of this year, that anxiety and pressure has been such a normal part of my life that they were my companions for 50 years. 52 years. Three? Whatever. And the Word of God came to me at the end of last year. Sonny, step down, rest. Trust me with everything else. Don't be afraid, for it is I. You'll be more fruitful resting. And then he said, through another two people confirmed this word. And I didn't make it up. They said, I see you playing, like playing, right? And the word of the Lord says, in this season for you, playing is as powerful as praying and fasting and worshiping. So you know what I started to do? I started to go watch more soccer. Not only that, I would wake up. I don't care if I had church Sunday, you know. I still woke up 2, 3, 4 in the morning watching soccer, you know, wearing Sonny's. And most of the time, I'm watching like this. Oh, God! I'm interceding for Sonny. Oh, God! Please protect him from any injuries. Oh, God! Let him score, please, God. And if they lose, I took it personally. Oh, God! But I took it serious. Whatever God... He said, playing is as powerful. Okay, then I stopped for the first time in 20 years of pastoring our church. I stopped the night watches. For the first time, 2024. I haven't done, you know what I changed to? I changed to 10 p.m. to midnight. You know, that's every Friday night we just pray 10 p.m. to midnight. And then after that, I go to sleep so I could wake up early to watch soccer. What I'm saying is this. If you choose playing whatever that is for you on your own, it could be devastating. It may not be that good for you. But in this season, God spoke to me. Don't be afraid. It is I. Rest. Play. And as I played, I watched more soccer in 2024 than 50, how old am I? 53, 52 years of my life combined, I watched more soccer this year alone. And you know what? Do you know how healing that was? I didn't have to think about a leader who was struggling and I had to fast. A lot of times I realized I fasted for them and they didn't even fast for themselves. Forget it. If you're not going to fast for yourself, I'm not fasting anymore. And you know, I played. I feel so much joy that I'm living life, guys. I'm living life. I'm not here with like crazy, you know, spiritual testimonies per se. Well, I do have that, I guess, from the Middle East. But you know what? When I am tethered, when I am anchored in the Word of God, and I know what God is saying to me, I don't care what happens in different seasons, different months in my life. I don't care what kind of wind and waves come. Guess what? I am tethered. I am anchored in the Word of God, and nothing and no one could take me away from being. I am quickly back to my anchor, the Word of God. So I stand here. You know, I kind of skipped everything I prepared by giving you my personal testimony. But the message is the same. What is the Lord saying? And my prayer today is this. In season, sometimes you're going to be so powerful, so fruitful, so rich. Sometimes you're going to be poor. Sometimes you're not going to be that successful. You know what I realized? It doesn't matter because you're still a child of God. He loves me as much as when I was fasting, you know, 30, 50% of the year for missions work. And, you know, when I prayed all night, every Friday night, he loves me as much today. I'm not fasting. I make Benjamin fast because I said, I'm not called to work right now. So if we need some breakthrough, you got to fast, brother. Because that's the Word of God. You got to work, brother. Good thing I'm older than him because, you know, I'm supposed to play. The Word of the Lord directs your path, it protects you from the accusation and the lies of the enemy. You know what? I'm not ashamed standing before you that I'm not fasting and praying all night like I used to, because I'm still so loved. The favor of God rests upon me, and I have my daddy's permission to watch as much soccer as I want to. So, will you stand with me today? I'm going to end with this. A few months ago, I received a prophetic word through email. And Benjamin and I, we received it. I mean, it was so powerful for us. And we still hold on to it. And when things seem opposite of that prophetic word, we go back to that prophetic word and we anchor ourselves in that prophetic word. So I want to end this time with you reading some of those portions of that prophetic word we received. And when I read it, maybe some of you, maybe some parts, you are drawn. I want you to listen to the voice of God, not a prophetic word Pastor Sonny or Pastor Benjamin received. I want you to ask the Holy Spirit, do you have something for me in this? What are you saying? You see, when you read the Bible, consistency is the key, you guys. Even if you don't feel anything, the key is you do it day in and day out. That's how you get anchored in the Word of God. Right? But when you do so, you don't just mindlessly read. You ask the Holy Spirit, highlight a scripture, highlight a verse for me. So every day, you know what I do? When I read my Bible reading, I ask Him, give me one verse. And I receive that one verse. I underline it. I write it. I meditate on it. I pray it. I wonder, okay, what are you saying to me in this season through this word? So every day, every morning, I have an anchor in the Word of God, a verse from my Bible reading. And every season, I have a prophetic spoken Word of God that directs my actions. And so when I read these prophetic word, I want you to ask, God, is there any for me? Will you speak to me? The Word of God says, my sheep hear my voice. You see, hearing His voice isn't too difficult. If it has been difficult, it's because you weren't paying attention. You know, when somebody walks in, you didn't know they were there. Often we live with God like that. He's there, but we don't notice. But today, as I read, will you notice? The Word of God says when two or more are gathered in His name, that He is present. He's here. Jesus that appeared to my sister, He's here standing before you. Jesus that appeared to my brother in the dream, He's here right next to you. I want you to close your eyes and I want you to become aware. God, I pray that you would heighten our awareness to your presence. Heighten our awareness to your voice. God, your voice is life. God, your word is lamp unto our feet. God, your word gives us life, direction, strength, guidance, protection. So in this season, Lord, will you renew our love for the Word of God? That as we pursue your prophetic spoken word, God, will you give us grace to pursue your written Word of God daily and consistently and be tethered and anchored in the Word of God? So listen. The Word of the Lord. God is going to reward the faithful stand of His people. God is sending winds of change to blow away the obstacles and blow in the manifestation of His promises. Listen with your heart. Listen and see if God is highlighting any part of this. If so, receive it. The Word says the Lord is going to change your times and seasons suddenly. He's going to rapidly transform your current situation. He is going to orchestrate all things to work together for your good. The Word of the Lord says prepare for supernatural settlements and breakthroughs. The Lord is going to remove the Jericho walls that have kept you from advancing forward. He is going to bring a season of laughter and your mourning will be turned into dancing. Supernatural settlements and breakthroughs are coming your way. Embrace the change. Embrace the new beginning and embrace the open doors that the Lord is setting before you. The Lord
will bring victory and vindication. The favor of God will rest on you like never before. Your times and seasons are changing supernaturally. He's going to eradicate every slowness and every delay in your life. See how God will bring your last season to a close and open doors to a new season. Watch. Watch. Sons and daughters of God, watch for long-awaited promises of God to effortlessly fall into place. Instead of your shame, you shall have double honor. And instead of confusion, they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore, in their land, they shall possess double. Everlasting joy shall be theirs. Indeed, let no one who waits on you be ashamed. God, I hear you saying, waiting is coming to an end. But in the midst of waiting, I hear the Lord saying, waiting equals reward. The longer you had to wait, guess what? Your reward will be greater as you cling to His word, as you cling to His promises. So Holy Spirit, this morning, I pray in your name, powerful name, Jesus. In the name of Jesus, I pray that you would awaken my brothers and sisters to a new level of awareness to your voice. That their hearts will burn for your voice in the written word of God and in the spoken word of God. That we would pursue your voice because your voice manifests your presence. God, you have called us to be the people of your presence. And how can we carry your presence without knowing your voice? Your voice, as we hear your voice, you release this, you manifest your presence in our lives. So Father, I pray, open our ears, open our hearts, God. Open our awareness, God. Heighten our awareness to your voice, to your word, to your presence. I pray. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Do we have some time? Okay. So as we worship, if you feel like God highlighted something from what I spoke, or even the emails that I read, if you feel like, I think I received something, can you come? Because I want to join with you. I want to agree with you. Because the more we magnify the voice of God, it becomes a stronger, stronger, stronger force in your life. Amen? Amen.
I'm open. My heart is an open.
feel right now, whatever the word that God spoke to you, I want you to just prophesy that. Because that very word that you just heard, that you received from the Holy Spirit, just like the Bible says, it's alive and active. It's alive and active. You just received life in those words. Those words are nothing apart from the Spirit of God. But because He spoke to you, it is alive and it is active. And it wants to take root in your spirit, in your soul. So I want you to prophesy. I want you to imagine yourself like Ezekiel in the valley of dry bones. And with the word of God, Son of Man, can these bones live? I want you to prophesy the word that you receive. Prophesy over your valleys. Prophesy. Come on. Open your mouth and declare it. Declare it. I don't care what you feel. I don't care what you see or not see. I want you to prophesy. You're the minister of that word. You're the prophet of that word. Come on. Come on. Come on. Declare it.
Open space for you to come and have your way.
I know there's a lot of brothers and sisters that I didn't get to, but I thank you because I'm not God. You're the God. And you're the one who spoke these promises. And you're the one who is going to work powerfully, personally, on behalf of my brothers and sisters. God, more than anything, heighten our awareness to your voice, to your word. May we fall in love with the written word, with the spoken word, with the voice of God. Again, renew our love for your word. We love you. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated, but you know, if we could go and eat, but if you feel like, oh man, Pastor Sonny, I really was hoping you would come pray for me, guess what? I'll be more than happy to after the service. Amen. All right.